Hello and welcome back, and happy 100th episode. I cannot believe that I've done 100 of these, and thank you for all of you for following. I am so incredibly grateful for all of your beautiful notes and donations and DMs. It really means the world to me. I cannot believe that it is episode 100. So welcome back. As those of you who have been listeners for a while know, I'm your host, Cardzi B, and I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still a kid in elementary school. And since then, I've turned that hobby into a full-time tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various products and events. So I was really struggling kind of to center this episode around, because I was like, wow, it's the 100th episode and I want it to be really something fun and cool. And those of you who follow my podcast or social media for a while might remember that I currently don't know where I'm going to be living come September 1st. So that has been consuming a ton of time and energy. My lease is up. They're raising the rent. It's, you know, not a great situation to be in New York, period, especially not raising rents on top of old school Manhattan prices when things were grand and fabulous. So last week when we had the judgment card but reversed, which reminded us to kind of go gentle on the judgment of ourselves and others, I really, you know, I looked at that and I was like, where can I also apply this? And when we look at the reversals in a lot of cards, can be more challenging than the upright. So it's often I look at the reversals of like, okay, I see those lessons. Where can we turn that around? And judgment is ruled by the element of pure fire, the burning desire to look at the whole picture, you know, as much as we can. I personally believe we can never know everything in one lifetime. We can get like a tiny little perspective, but I'm always trying to, as a Sagittarius, learn as much as I can from that perspective in this lifetime to acquire a deeper understanding. So all of that to say, while I was trying to figure out my own next steps, I did a really deep dive, judgment style, into the current energies and you know, what's going on in the cosmos and astrologically to try to shed some light on things. And while I was doing this research, which was just personally for me, I thought this might be a great kind of focus for the 100th episode, as I know many of you are also struggling with areas of uncertainty, you know, as you might also be where you going to live. You might be moving. You might be exiting out of relationships. You might be transitioning career-wise, job-wise, and making really big kind of shifts in this uncertain time. So if you're in this with me, if you're feeling any of that, I thought I would share what I found in case it's helpful. So one of the most interesting things I discovered was that this current eclipse cycle that we're in the middle of, we had the summer solstice, solar eclipse in June 21st, the lunar eclipse last weekend on July 4th. It was, you know, the night of July 4th, but technically July 5th, I think it was like 12:45 a.m., that full moon in Capricorn. And then we have that closing eclipse, the last eclipse of the cycle, coming up December 14th, I believe. So that cycle in those placements on those dates only occurs once every 19 years. So, you know, just as I love the numerology behind tarot, and I'm kind of a math nerd, I always was a big math nerd as a kid, and it's something that really interests me. I love to look at those aspects of tarot. I also love the mathematical elements of astrology, and that we can literally look back in history and we can examine those patterns. So when we do the math, when we do the calculations of 19 years ago, that was the summer right before 9/11, and 9/11 occurred in that eclipse cycle, right in the middle of it. You know, that terrorist attack that changed our world as we know it forever happened right in the center, halfway between June and December of that eclipse cycle. And 19 years before that was 1982, a really pivotal point in the Iraq-Iran war, when that was at the peak. So yeah, Avi, things are likely to get more intense in the fall, probably September through December specifically. And I hope I'm wrong here, but even the best astrologists out there, big shout out to Susan Miller, to Ann Ortley, they're predicting a second wave. And again, I hope not. But even if that's not the case, it looks like we have some rocky terrain to navigate between now and 2021. So my advice for those of you trying to make personal decisions, and, you know, being mindful of that, like for me personally, it's like really hard. Where am I going to live? And if New York goes into another lockdown, it was really challenging psychologically and spiritually to navigate those waters in the spring and summer. I can't imagine in the winter. So if you're coming up against that of like, hey, I don't know what to do. Are my kids going back to school? Are they not? I don't know, you know, where I want to move. I thought I was buying a house. Am I not? Am I leaving this relationship? One of the things that can be helpful to you is to look back from your perspective. Where were you in 2001? And if you were alive, and where were you in 1982? I'm saying that because I know I have a lot of millennial and Gen Z followers, so you may not have even existed then. I love you all. My little baby witches and baby tarot magicians out there. But yeah, so 2001, 1982. For me, interestingly enough, I was actually born in this eclipse cycle, right at the tail end. I always love to do things just in time. That's like my parents joke about that. I was always like just in time for things when I was a kid and a teenager. So I came out of this eclipse cycle right at the last minute, December 10th, 1982. And I came into the world as this weird metaphysical old soul in the middle of rural Pennsylvania in the early 80s. Then when I looked back 19 years after the eclipse cycle in 2001, I had graduated high school and moved to Toronto. And I was there right before 9/11 hit. I remember, this was highly impactful, obviously on a global scale with 9/11 and the attacks. But on a micro personal level, Toronto to me represented freedom. So living alone in a big city that offered the diversity and culture and open-mindedness that I just craved like oxygen for so long, I felt like myself. I really felt like, wow, I'm me here. You know, I can thrive. I can exist unapologetically as myself. And the beginning of that eclipse cycle in June in 2001, also was the last time I would talk to my sister for a 7-year period. And I won't get into the whole story of that. We have since made amends. But that was a time, that eclipse cycle of 2001 from June to December, that I experienced both extreme freedom and immense loss in my life. And I feel like both of those times represented a new beginning for me. So literally coming into the world in 1982 and then kind of into the world as an adult living on my own in a big city in 2001. And while there was a sense of leaving something that was extremely comfortable, and familiar, when you look at the 1982 example, I was literally exiting my mother's womb, which I don't actually remember, but I'm guessing that's probably kind of scary to leave from footage of babies exiting that I've seen. And then in 19 years later, in the same eclipse cycle, I could not wait to get out of my hometown for a lot of reasons, but it was scary too. I love my family, and losing the relationship with my sister was incredibly challenging, as she was such a source of security in my life. She was really my best friend up until that point. Anyway, when it can be helpful, what were the challenges you faced in 2001 and 1982 if you were around? What were the lessons you were learning? What were the beautiful opportunities? What were the things you overcame? That can help guide you in the eclipse cycle that we're in the middle of right now. I still haven't 100% decided where I'm going, but I'm now considering breaking this into smaller tour stops, if you will, and having the option of getting a place near my parents and my sister. So I really would have never considered this like in the past. I would have said no way in hell would I ever reside where I was born. Not even temporarily, but it seems like the universe may be pointing me in that direction just for, don't worry about me, kids, it's just for a couple of months. But though this area is definitely a challenge for me, the people there and kind of the zeitgeist there, I love my parents so much, and my sister and my niece and nephew. And I have an especially, I talk about her all the time. I have a especially magic bond with my niece. And it actually reminds me a lot of me and my big sister when I was young. Now the kind of relationship that Savannah and I have. And I think that this will be, this could be a time in her life that I'm contractually, you know, on a soul level to be there for a little bit, especially considering the eclipse cycles history with me, and kind of that's when my sister and I fell apart. And maybe there's some, you know, some mending there, some kind of some karma to be played out. So if you're at a crossroads in this and trying to make a plan in an extremely uncertain and in some ways terrifying world right now, it might be helpful to look back again at 2001. And if you can, 1982, and like look at what choices you made, how they guided you, what answers did you get back then, what came into your life, what did you need to release, what was healed, what was maybe traumatic. The other interesting thing to consider for my American listeners, when I was doing my astrological dig into like help me cosmos in this time, America is a really, really young nation compared to Asia and Europe when we think about it. And we've only had, even like when we think about civil rights, we've only had the majority of our civil rights in terms of women, you know, African Americans, gay people for 60 years or less. And when we look at the math of that, the U.S. is approaching its second civil rights Saturn return. Right? Because it's 30-year cycles, about give or take. But we're all kind of like in a civil rights Saturn return right now. With Saturn in Capricorn, it's a test of what we've learned up until this point and what we still need to master. So we're being asked to really step back and learn what we may have failed to complete or failed to master up until now in order to help each other and help our nation evolve and ascend. And that can be on the smallest level. That can be kindness. That can be having meaningful conversations within your own family, within your own circle of friends. That has a ripple effect out to the world. So while we have this Saturn in Capricorn, and while we're in this almost like Saturn return of the U.S. in that way, how can we aid that progress? So anyway, happy 100th episode. I decided to make this a little astrology spiel for the 100th ep. So sending so much love to everyone, but especially all of you making hard choices and shifts and big life decisions right now. So let's go on to our July cards now that I've given some astro food for thought, some plant-based astro apps. Okay. Oh, I was shuffling for the card of the week. I'm sorry. I'm losing it today. This is how spacey I am. We're going to go through our July cards first. We already know what they are. We have the Cancer ruled chariot, right? So that's in my deck, Miley Cyrus, because she comes in like a wrecking ball, leading us towards victory, but it's often after a lot of work and contemplation was done. I think given the state of the world and everything we've moved through in Gemini and the Lovers last month, after a lot of the groundwork was laid, whether that was things we were putting out in the world, activism, things we were doing, or whether that was internal work we were doing, learning, researching, healing, a lot of that work was done specifically in June. And now we're kind of in the July part of Cancer that we get to put that out to the world in a way that we get to receive successes from it. And that can even just be success in terms of feeling more at peace, feeling more in alignment. And July is the first time that we get to really kind of move forward in that part of Cancer season. I think the end of June, Cancer was more about contemplation. And Cancer, when we think about it, it's represented by the crab. And the crab, it's a complex sign because that interior is very known for nurturing and like kind of mothering and creating a beautiful home and being a caretaker. But there still is that exterior hard shell. And June seems like it was a little bit more of the inner part of Cancer, going within, doing that work. And July seems to be coming out more as the outer, the chariot portion, you know, encouraging us to move forward with those downloads and learnings we gathered. We also, for our second card from the 2020 monthly overview poll, we have the moon reversed. And as I mentioned in last week's episode, I actually prefer the reversal of this card. And this is the placement that we're in for July, because it indicates, the moon reverse indicates that we have been feeling and working through fears and anxieties. And as a result, been able to really look at them and see that many of those things are actually ghosts of the past or illusionary beliefs and false narratives that we were telling ourselves. And those discoveries, even though it can be unpleasant and uncomfortable to delve into those shadows, once we kind of look at it, let it come to the surface, acknowledge it, can be so freeing. So there's a lot that I feel like is being uncovered and has been uncovered so that we can integrate and clear it in July. The moon is also closely associated with dream work. So pay attention to dreams that stand out to you in this time. It could be reoccurring dreams, dreams that feel very visceral, symbology in dreams that you're like, that was really freaking weird and I can't help but remember that I saw that, you know, that person or that animal. And if on the flip side, if you're someone who doesn't really remember their dreams, mugwort is awesome for this. I know I talk about all of my herbal tinctures and potions, but mugwort is absolutely, if I had to have one go-to, this is the one. I often, almost every night, unless I'm just really tired and I almost just want like a no dream sleep, because you can also put the intention when you go to bed of I just need to rest my physical body, because we do use a lot in that place of dreaming energetically. So sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to make my magic potion, I'm just going to sleep it out. But if I'm feeling like I want to specifically put intention into dream work and remembering my dreams and working with the symbology, I make a tonic of elderberry syrup, fresh squeezed lemon, mugwort, and lavender. So the elderberry, just good for immunity in this time. You know, anything that is helping our immune system, I'm doing, you know, even more than ever. Lavender does help the soothing, the anti-stress, helps get you to sleep. You can also work with valerian root. It wakes some people up. I made this for my mom, and I put valerian root in hers, and she was like, you would have thought I gave her an espresso. I felt so bad, and it was like at 11 o'clock at night. Just woke her right up. So they say about 5% of the population has the opposite effect with valerian root, that it wakes you up. So you might want to test it a little bit, test it when on a night where you can stay up a bit longer to see how you feel. But you can do lavender or valerian root to help you sleep. And then the mugwort, which is really that third eye opening herb that's great for astral travel. It's great for lucid dreaming, and it's good for remembering your dreams. So that's just a little tip as we work with the next couple weeks while we're still in the energy of the moon reversed. Now I can shuffle. I got too excited. Now I can pull up our card of the week. So let's take a look. Ooh, King of Wands. Okay, legit my favorite card. I know I get excited about, I wouldn't say all of them, because you all know there are some that I don't love to see. I don't love to see the devil, not going to lie. But I do love the King of Wands, and it is my favorite. Wheel of Fortune is my favorite major arcana, but King of Wands is my favorite of the court cards and favorite probably of the deck. It's the card that I made myself. And this is because kings are all fire. Wands are fire, kings are fire, so it's that really intense, passionate energy. And according to the Order of the Golden Dawn, this card is also associated with mid-July. Wands are summer in terms of timing. So this is kind of like the time period we're in. King of Wands has an astrological pull towards. So this king is really, so I feel like this is perfect for this week. And I'm excited to see this, because when I pull this, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to feel like the best version of myself. When you think about King of Wands, the best version of a fire sign that you love, of that Sag, Leo, Aries vibes. And, you know, he's kind of the entrepreneurial leadership king. he can be known as the party king because he's, you know, really gregarious, outgoing, extroverted, but gets shit done basically while making it look like fun. This is the king that makes things look like a party and meanwhile, like, a new business has been launched. So this is by far my favorite energy. I really try to embody this energy. And after the challenges of June and Mercury's retrograde period wrapping up literally today, like, hallelujah to that. This is kind of, I take this card for us collectively for the week, moving into the week, as getting our groove back. You know, so King of Wands is giving us the green light to move forward with plans, with decisions that we may have put on pause, that we didn't feel confident about. This is a confident king. It's a fire king of, like, let's get this party started. So this is like the things that you were putting on the back burner and you're intuitively feeling like, yeah, I can move forward with this. This is giving us the green light this week. So yeah, happy 100th episode, happy King of Wands week, and the fact that Mercury is now direct. There is a bit of a shadow period, so if you can wait, I have to make some decisions actually tomorrow on Monday that I'm just going to have to pull the plug. But if you can wait, there's a shadow period. I would say mid to end of this week is more advantageous in terms of big purchases, signing contracts, starting any new projects. But yeah, we got King of Wands working with us. It's going to be good. Sorry that this episode is a bit shorter. I am on the cusp of King of Wands. I'm on the cusp of getting my groove back. June and early July were very challenging for me, but I love you all and want to always give you as much of my tarot and astro love that I can. A couple of quick announcements before we head out. As always, I will be back next week, as always, on Monday, technically tomorrow, with my 7:30 Ask Card DB free tarot read segments. So if you want a free reading, you haven't been able to book with me for whatever reason, it's a great opportunity to get a free live mini reading. I also have my ongoing online content of tarot, a free tarot course on Modern Sanctuary. It's just a mini 1-hour course. I'm considering developing a longer course in the fall, winter. I'll keep you posted on that. But this is a great free, like, hour if you just want a quick tutorial. There's also a tarot Q&A. I'll post to that in the episode's notes. And the BCBG tarot scopes are also up. And I will be, I'm hoping to do a couple more videos. I did take a break. I was not feeling amazing. I was kind of like the shaved head Britney Spears half of the moon card for most of June and early July. So I didn't get to share as many of my energy update videos. I will be posting more of those moving forward. Maybe this week because we got King of Wands working with us. So thank you so much. I hope you have an incredible, magical week. And as always, stay magical AF.